keeping up? Have you any idea what's going on? Well, I have dropped some massive hints, so you ought to have some inkling by now. But let's just recap. Eamon Portraddle is on a quest to save the world. But what on earth that involves, he doesn't know. And he keeps getting distracted by the day-to-day life of the town. He is wearing a tinfoil hat he made from rubbish on the beach to keep out the voices of the mermaids. But the last day of summer is already looking ominous, what with the discovery of a cheese sandwich, the threat of a nuclear holocaust, and the unfortunate death of a marmalade cat. And the cold eye of the town mayor, Gloria Swanson. We can only assume that things are going to get worse. Life and Death and Everything in Between by Peter John Cooper. Music by Julian Harrow. With Julian Harrow as Eamon Portraddle and Holly Cooper and Eleanor Cooper as the mermaids. And Tricia Lewis as Gloria Swanson, the town mayor. Part 6. Cafe. The day is warm, but a slight morning mist has gathered at the mouth of the bay. The lighthouse, where the medical students are climbing, bleats out its warning. It is nearly time for the visitors to pack up and leave, for the residents to take back the town. They are already jockeying for positions.
Locals have taken some of the pavement tables. We always sit here. They are our tables. We frown at anyone who tries to take our tables. Mr. Jones and Mr. Brown are sitting at a table near Patrick and Slobodan, who are eyeing each other nervously and stubbing out cigarettes one after the other in the tin ashtray shaped like a rose. These are the people of the town. They have the town wound up nice and tight.
Copies of the Daily Mail are wafted vigorously as Portraddle passes. As the pages are turned, the coffee drinkers are busy hating.
Immigrants, gays, gay immigrants, the unemployed gay immigrants, the disabled unemployed gay immigrants, the weather, scientists, weather scientists, global warming. Disabled, unemployed, gay, immigrant scientists, and all foreigners, aliens, and those of mental weakness, and zombies.
How is it, thinks Portraddle, that the very thing that's made the human species rise up and achieve the possibility of a rich and fulfilled life for all has been subverted through advertising and propaganda and downright lies into a strangulation of the soul to bring riches beyond comprehension to a very few and misery to so many. All the coffee drinkers hear, though, is something like...
Pardon. Whoops. Better out than in.
And he lets a fart ripple through the morning air. Copies of the Daily Mail rustle. A woman passes by pushing a baby buggy with a bundle wrapped in a blanket. As she gets nearer, Pork Traddle sees that the bundle contains a large euphonium. Truth pulls so thin it starts to tear.
Sometimes we are alive, and sometimes we are dead, and some of us leave nothing to be said.
But not yet. Not yet.
You don't need this.
Not yet.
And then it is that spare hour between coffee time and lunch. What do you do in a place like this?
I should spend an hour or two at my hairdresser's. I want every wisp in place, every wave cemented to perfection. This afternoon is the town council planning meeting. We are in charge and we will plan the hell out of this town with my beautiful coiffure and eyes pulled tight.
The mermaids are whispering sweet nothings in Pork Traddle's ears.
But not yet.
Zero.
Not yet.
Zero. Zero. Zero.
Not yet.
He catches hold of Patrick's arm. He wants him to understand. Somehow, the words do not say what he means. This is what he wants the words to say.
I want to be milk. Serotonin stopping your moaning, coursing through a brain, the brain of the chipmunk, or is it the fryer frying chips, moving his lips, reciting boundless prairies of the Encyclopedia Britannica, now published in America, given reasons for fairies and the birthplace of eels and the definitive reasons for the diminution of wagon wheels. To be the tablecloth, make a starting stature, where the Georgian Cossacks dance a night away with Margaret Thatcher. I want to be an interchange of expletives at the junction between crasher and crashing.
blaze of the frosty sun, amid the bloated corpses of dead badgers, and the hares whose course is run. Like the clappers and sandwich wrappers, I want to be John Paul Sartre and to be Nietzsche, and Flossie the cow, yellow and peachy, and the hero Dan Dare, and the Mekon's cold glare, and knocking down the rubble, and the autumn field stubble. Finish. I want to eat spinach and parsnips and pie crust and space dust, and if I must, if the asteroid strikes, to be space dust. Deflects the solar wind. I am the coffee grounds of loneliness, made into thundercloud. A vacuum in a vacant place, a stillness where I'm pinned by constant, distant, unintelligible radio chatter. I am 70% of the universe. I am dark matter. I am black coffee.
But not yet, not yet.
Paul Traddle becomes animated and brushes Patrick's glass off the table onto the pavement, where it smashes into a thousand glittering diamond fragments. Paul Traddle gazes hypnotized by the beauty of the jewel heap he has created.
Why not now?
Not yet. Not yet.
Thank you for keeping Eamon Port Traddle company on his quest. Perhaps you ought to let your friends in on this secret, because they ought to know. I've had another Zoom call from Professor Binkle of University College Swindon. He says, well, I might as well play it to you.
Hello. Yes, Binkle here again.
Nietzsche, I hope you're going to be a good kitty this time. I thought your listeners ought to know, after my observations about the triangular nature of the symbolism in this farrago, that physicists at CERN in Switzerland have found evidence of a highly elusive, never-before-seen process, the so-called triangle singularity. This was first envisaged by Russian physicist Lev Landau in the 1950s. A triangle singularity refers to a rare subatomic process where particles exchange identities before flying away from each other. Oh, Nietzsche, if you play up, you will have to go outside. I mean it. Now, do be a good cat. Do as I say. The particles exchanged quarks and changed their identities in the process. Physicists were smashing groups of quarks called pions into hydrogen atoms. All those pion collisions produced something unexpected, the fabled triangle singularity. It's called a singularity because this is where mathematical methods for describing subatomic particle interactions break down. Oh, that's it, Nietzsche. Now, outside with you. Go on. Go out. Find somebody else to bother. In this scenario, two particles, let us call them Trevor and Linda, or Gemma, or Brenda, or something, form two corners of the triangle, while the particles they swap form wedding gifts to each other, thus creating a third changed state, that of blissful happiness as Mr. and Mrs. Kaon. You see, the pion smashes into the hydrogen atom, and after, as it were, introducing Linda to Trevor, all the strong force energy produces a flood of new particles. The new particles may be seen as their children, more likely these days, as their equally expensive pets. Eventually, we might expect their relationship to decay into other, more stable particles. But sadly, Mr. and Mrs. Kaon begin to travel their separate ways. Especially with the introduction of more energetic, you could say, muscular particles. But before they do, they exchange one of their quarks with each other. This time, instead of love tokens, these represent solicitors' letters of a more acrimonious sort. Trevor and Linda transform themselves into aggrieved parties, each wanting custody of the cat in the process. Trevor and Linda Kaon now form two separate but linked entities, and the exchange kitty makes a continuing third point of interaction between them, what with continuing vet bills and impossible amounts of kitty litter and so on. It is all very Hegelian. And now the CERN scientists now say they have discovered an even more strange condition known as the tetraquark with four interactions. Oh, don't get me on tetraquarks. Oh my God. Nietzsche! Nietzsche!